May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have 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 your attention, please?
Welcome to Attention Please on KPTZ Port Townsend. I'm Larry Stein. For today's program, I want to change the scene a little bit behind us with sound. Now we're in the right setting to talk about the Port Townsend Marine Science Center and its new executive director, Bea Redfield. You may remember hearing longtime executive director of the Marine Science Center, Janine Boer, discussing her retirement just about a year ago on this program. She also talked about the big changes for the Marine Science Center as it acquired the flagship landing building on Water Street as its new location for the museum, aquarium, and offices. A national search was started for Janine's replacement, and Bea Redfield of Indiana and Purdue University was chosen. It's an interesting coincidence here in Port Townsend that Danielle McClellan, the new director of the Port Townsend Film Festival, is also from Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana, 100 miles south of Purdue. It's no conspiracy, it's a coincidence. I visited with Bea Redfield in her offices on the ground floor of the flagship landing building on Water Street, the Marine Science Center's new home base.
I came here from Indiana. I was at Purdue University in the Department of Forestry and Natural Resources, which encompasses wildlife science, aquatic science, etc. And while I was there, I was in graduate school, but also got to do field work in Hawaii and in the Channel Islands off the coast of California. Mm-hmm. So I've been very fortunate in my field work sites, primarily island ecosystems. Oh, yeah. So it does give me a really interesting take on that kind of dynamic between land and sea. And I've worked most extensively with birds. So really excited to be out here by Protection Island, which obviously I know quite a bit about from just reading other literature on the importance of those types of habitats to seabirds.
Doesn't the Marine Science Center do some trips to Protection Island?
We do, yeah. So for the public, we do a tour along with the Puget Sound Express, who hosts us on their boats. And we do spring migration tours. We do puffin cruises. And, of course, also take a look at any whales we see along the way. But, yeah, we've also done in the past some seabird surveys, which is a citizen science program to monitor the populations of seabirds who are nesting on Protection Island and around.
So what is your impression on being in here for 6 months? Now you've sort of had a chance to absorb what's been happening here, and the plan is very ambitious, the long-term plan.
Yeah, certainly. So I've really spent this first 5.5 months getting to know the community, getting to know the way that the Marine Science Center and the community have worked together for these past 40 years, and getting to know some of the key players as well, you know, people who volunteered with us for so long, our founders, our board, and our staff, and other nonprofit leaders and town leaders here in Port Townsend. And my initial impression is that this is such a close-knit community that has such strong support for the Marine Science Center. And that was something that really drew me to apply and to want to take this position. Was I was doing work in conservation at the academic level, and I wanted to work for an organization that was actually putting these conservation ideas into play, into action, and working with community members to do that.
Let's talk a little bit about the very, to me, it's what Janine laid out to me was a very ambitious long-term plan. It really is not something that's going to happen overnight. It's a long-term project that you're all embarking on. And the first step is to move into this building on Water Street.
Well, I'll say that's not the first step, because we're doing a lot of homework ahead of time. We're a group who really are science-minded or straight-up scientists, so we're doing our research, and that involves everything from strategic planning and looking at the future trajectory of the organization over the next few years to meeting with the community and in kind of getting that identity, that concept of what we want to be and what the community needs us to be before we launch into what, of course, will be a capital campaign, and then developing blueprints and plans for the building. So that will take quite a few years. I mean, this is a historic building. So once we even get the construction plans in place, we'll need to do all that permitting and everything like that. But we really want to do this right. And I think most importantly to the board and the staff, and of course myself, is we don't want this to be just the Port Townsend Marine Science Center. We really want this to be Port Townsend's Marine Science Center. So we want that pride of place to be something that the community feels like they're coming along with us on this project and they're helping to guide us down the right path. So we're going to be involving the community as much as we possibly can in that.
I think this central location of this new public face of the Marine Science Center is really a significant move from where it has been. People, you sort of have to know that there's a Marine Science Center here, and you can miss it. I have to say, honestly, I've hung around here since 2005, and it was a long time until I really got a sense of what was down there.
Yeah, and we do collect that data on our visitors to see, you know, who they are and why they came in. And that's something we hear is, well, we were just in Fort Worden and noticed there's an aquarium here. So we're really excited to move down to Water Street because I think all of us have kind of started to recognize the importance of climate change and the way it's impacting our planet. And as an organization, we know that we need to get more action focused. We need to bring our message to a larger audience and give people ways that they can actively make a difference. And so being on Water Street is going to open us up to a whole new audience of people who may just be visiting for a day, may just be coming off of a cruise ship. They might not have ever seen the ocean before. So they'll be able to see why it's important that they should care about rising sea levels. And if they fall in love with this place, which I think many of them do, why they should change their behavior when they get home. Maybe they're coming from the Midwest and never really thought about the ocean that much. But we can really make an impact here and let them know why this matters so much for coastal communities like ours.
Yeah, and you're in a location that's right near the water. And when we talk about sea level rise and all the things that are happening in the interface between land and water, you're right there. That's where the Science Center is going to be.
Yeah, and that allows us even more hands-on opportunities for kids and adults here. So we'll have more programming opportunities to really kind of get in there and experience what marine conservation means and see more of the creatures.
So. Now, I understand from my conversations with Janine that the state parks, I guess, that owns the facilities down at Fort Worden, they technically own it. They have a plan in which the pier where the aquarium is has to be torn down at some point, not too far off.
Yeah, that's something that we really just kind of, as renters of that space, it is ultimately up to the state parks as to what happens with the pier. So we, of course, have loved our time on the pier. We have tremendous sentimental ties to that. We do hate to see it go, but at the same time, we recognize that some of the research that's been done by the parks, it is having a big impact on the marine ecosystem there, on bluff erosion. It's not ideal. And that building has really lived its useful life. So we recognize that that is something important to either be redone if the fort decides that that's what they want to do with that space, or be kind of reimagined as for a new purpose.
So in the plans, your aquarium facility will very likely be in this building on Water Street.
Yeah, so the plans as they are right now are that our entire guest experience from an aquarium and museum perspective will be here in the Water Street building eventually. So all of the exhibits and the tanks will be here. And then that building in Fort Worden on the beach, which is, we call it our museum building now, it's the one with Hope, the orca skeleton, right, that will remain as an environmental learning center. So we'll still have a presence at Fort Worden, and that's where we'll teach our camps and other classes out of, that will make use of those tide pools and walking the beach at Fort Worden.
That's great.
So yeah, we'll still have, you know, citizen science programs out there, things like that.
Yeah,
Fort Worden is such an ideal place for things like camps. And I get so much feedback when I meet with people, you know, we need more camps, they fill up so quickly. And I hear you. And that definitely, once that building can be dedicated more specifically towards programs like that, that'll free us up to be able to offer more things, for more programs for kids, maybe some more programs for adults out of there as well.
Traditionally, I guess people think of an aquarium as a place where you take children and they have a great time.
Yeah.
But when I've been there, there's as many groups of adults coming to see things as the kids.
Yeah, I love that part of it. You know, it's so powerful, that impact that you can have on the young minds, and seeing the kids really just have that moment of awe is wonderful. And I love that we provide that. But I get to see that moment of awe with adults too. And that's, in some ways, even more powerful, because, you know, as an adult, it's hard to get wowed by things. But when you see a giant Pacific octopus kind of unfurl and swim through his tank, if you haven't been down to see Sylvia, he's our octopus there. He's just amazing. I get that awe moment every time I see him. So
the octopus who you see is he. Mm-hmm. His name is Sylvia.
It is.
I seem to remember the naming process of the octopus was not that long ago.
Right. Yeah, so this is actually a really great story. Our octopus was caught as a little larva stage, you know, tiny, almost microscopic octopus that was raised by our aquarium curator, Allie. This is one of the first times it had ever been done anywhere. So she hand-raised him, and we learned a lot about the development of octopuses in captivity. There's not a lot of research out there on it because it hasn't been done. So one of the things we learned was that the male octopuses develop this, one of their arms is essentially what they use for reproduction. So that develops later in life than we thought it did. And so we were pretty confident that Sylvia was a female. And then after naming him Sylvia, we discovered he was a male. So
perfect.
Sylvia
perfect.
It is. But
you know what? Names and gender assignments are more fluid now than
exactly.
ever.
Exactly, yeah.
And maybe we learned from the octopus
that
things are not always in a straight line, and you're not always one or the other.
Go with the flow, that's what I say.
Well, that's great. So the octopus is healthy and stable in that surroundings that it's in right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, all the different aquariums throughout the world who have octopuses like ours, you know, giant Pacific octopuses, they get very large. So that's something we always monitor to make sure with all of our animals that they're healthy, that they're happy, or as we can tell, happy, that they have everything they need. And if there's ever a question, if the tank seems to be too small for his growing body, that's when we plan a release. So,
Yeah. Wow. One thing I'm also aware of, I hear about often, are the beach cleanup activities that happen.
Yeah.
I know there was one nationally, or maybe internationally coordinated one just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, there was just a few weeks ago. We've been partnering with a lot of organizations to really expand that beach cleanup concept out and work together to have it on the same day for public knowledge and participation.
And I know, so there's lots of opportunities. In fact, they've lured me, but I haven't actually been able to make any of them yet. So
I
will be soon, because there's beach cleanup, and then there's also shoreline maintenance in terms of invasive species of plants and stuff that you guys have to work on.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, with the kind of the interplay between land and sea, you know, it's all important. So it's not just what's below the water. It's what's in the water that we can take out, or what washes ashore that we can remove, or what's growing there that shouldn't be. So all of those dynamics come into play. And of course, as we're developing programs, we want to give the community the opportunity to have that hands-on to directly benefit their own world. So those are great programs for that sort of thing.
As I understand, you come to this from a science background
and
a kind of education and interpersonal relations background.
Also, I mean, yes.
And that's an important part of an organization. We sure know that from a radio station in which we're working with lots of volunteers. Mm-hmm. And yours is an organization that works with lots of volunteers, mm-hmm. who really enjoy being able to learn and teach people at the same time.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think it's so powerful to be able to pick something up and transfer that knowledge and that passion along to whether it be the next generation or a group of your peers. But that really cements that learning in our mind and gives people the feeling that what they're doing is important, which it is. Everything that we're doing that contributes to conservation initiatives, of course, me being the director of an organization like that, I think it's the most important thing. But, you know, mm-hmm. we're all trying to save our planet. And what better way can we spend our time than that, than by mm-hmm. motivating others and teaching them about it?
Mm-hmm. I'm talking to Bea Redfield, the new executive director of the Port Townsend Marine Science Center, who's just been here since April, if I understand that right.
Yep. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
You've just heard from Bea Redfield, the new director of the Port Townsend Marine Science Center. On KPTC, Port Townsend, I'm Larry Stein. The sound behind me is the interior of the Marine Science Center Aquarium on the dock at the Fort Worden beachfront. As usual, during open hours, there is a mix of adults and children enjoying close-up visits with marine animals in tanks, including Sylvia the giant Pacific octopus, and in open viewing pools. Across the road from the dock and aquarium is a museum building with exhibits, videos, and learning stations. Hanging above it all is the articulated skeleton of Hope, the beached orca formerly known as CA-189. A video documents the path from her death to her skeleton placed at the Marine Science Center.
Floats and ropes were attached to CA-189's lifeless body, and she was towed to a nearby public beach. Many orcas die at sea, and their bodies usually sink to the bottom, and we never know what caused their deaths. CA-189 would give scientists a chance to conduct valuable research. At the boat ramp, she was lifted from the water and onto a flatbed trailer, where a necropsy, an animal autopsy, was performed to help determine the cause of her death. Researchers who specialize in necropsies examined her organs, collecting blood, blubber, and tissue samples for lab analysis. In time, these samples would reveal that CA-189 was full of toxins. After the necropsy, her body was transported to a nearby farm and buried. Bacteria and insects in the soil would consume the flesh, leaving a clean skeleton for future examination and study. In 2008, the Port Townsend Marine Science Center received permission from NOAA to dig up the bones and finish cleaning them. In January of 2011, Master Mammal Bone Articulator Lee Post joined a large group of Port Townsend Marine Science Center volunteers to lead the restoration and reassembling of CA-189's skeleton. During this fascinating project, many school groups came to learn about orcas and the story of CA-189.
I don't think there's going to be.
The students decided to name her Hope because she embodies hope for the health of orcas and the future of our oceans.
Because she died, it makes me feel like the ocean needs to be saved, and she makes me hopeful to help save it.
Now we'll go back to Bea Redfield, the new executive director of the Port Townsend Marine Science Center.
I have kind of an interesting story to look and say now I'm a director of a marine science center because I grew up in the Midwest and I actually didn't ever see the ocean until I was 20. So thinking about marine conservation or working with marine animals was never something that I had necessarily had in my mind. I became connected to nature and to wildlife through the forest and through, you know, wildlife that I find in the forest. And I also had pets. So I really knew immediately, pretty much as soon as I was old enough to speak and to interact, that I wanted to just constantly be with animals. So as soon as I was legally old enough, I got a job at my local veterinarian, and it just kind of grew from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a perfect blend here because you've got forests and forest animals and birds and seashore and all the interface of the life between the two of them.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And I do like to be able to think about how we can motivate students who may not have had access to the ocean or knowledge about that to consider this as a potential career choice if they're thinking about going to college, to give them access to knowledge and resources. So we develop things like our YouTube channel for the Marine Science Center so people can have those tools. Back when I was that age, of course, we didn't have the internet yet, but now
they
can learn.
Yet. I didn't know there was a YouTube channel for the Marine Science Center.
There is.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we have quite a variety of videos on there, but one I will definitely give a shout out because I'm just starting to schedule this coming up again in October is our Future of Oceans lecture series. And we're going to be going back to in-person for the most part. We'll still have some Zooms, but we feature different researchers and people who are working in the field in different areas that kind of interface with our mission, whether it be directly marine conservation related. So we'll have, for example, an expert on the invasive green crab coming out to talk this fall, or some things that are a little bit more outside of it, like deep sea mining, where we want to know more, and certainly is a fascinating topic. We talk about recycle, reuse, repair, reduce landfill waste, reduce plastics in the ocean, sea level rise. You can see videos on all of these things that we've already featured, and we'll be uploading the new ones from this fall and spring.
What's the name of it? How do you find it on YouTube?
So you can search PTMSC or Port Townsend Marine Science Center. Actual lecture series is called Future of Oceans. We do have some other videos as well on there. For example, there's a little video of Sylvia growing up. So if you want to know more about our awesome octopus, he's on there. So yeah.
We just wanted to meet you and have you meet the community a little bit wider range, at which they will over time meet you personally or meet you by the work that you do here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all about kind of linking the community together. So
yeah, I love that. Yeah. And I will just definitely say to the community members, if you want to get to know me a little bit better, I'm here in the Flagship Landing Building. I have an office space. I'm generally always here, at least on Mondays. My schedule is taking me out to offsite meetings quite a bit still, but I would love to hear from you. Reach out through email, through phone. I'm happy to set up meetings with you if you'd like to chat more with me. Mm-hmm. I do plan to offer some coffee hours with the director, virtual or in person, coming up. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that and sign up for our newsletter if you are not already and you want to kind of keep up with our plans for the future. We definitely want to keep the community informed and involved as much as we can in that project.
Thank you for spending some time and welcome to Port Townsend. This is an exciting time because a lot of the institutions of Port Townsend are now changing leadership, and they're changing leadership to a different generation. And that's an exciting thing to see in Port Townsend. I mean, when I started here, everybody was 65 or over, and now the mayor's in his 40s, you know, and the city council is mostly around 40, and the head of the Marine Science Center is a young person.
And the Maritime Center in Northland Ireland. We're all, contemporaries. It's been wonderful, though, because, and this may be also because we're moving down to Water Street, but getting to meet those other leaders, they're so supportive and just wonderful ideas. They all wow me with their passion, their enthusiasm, their knowledge, and I look forward to collaborating with all of them. We already have some projects coming up. We're going to be putting a gray whale skeleton on Union Wharf here in a collaboration with the ports and working with the Historical Society to update our exhibit signage throughout town. So just wonderful opportunities to work with these different new leaders.
Right. Good.
Good.
some wonderful whale sounds from an exhibit at the Port Townsend Marine Science Center Museum, which is currently on the beach at Fort Worden. I've been talking with Bea Redfield, the new executive director of the Port Townsend Marine Science Center. Their offices have moved to the flagship building on Water Street, just on the other side of the new outdoor plaza next to Better Living Through Coffee on the Lighthouse Cafe. The Marine Science Center has a visitor center and shop in the building that's open Thursdays from 11 to 3 and Friday through Sunday from 11 to 5. It's a great place to get to know the Marine Science Center and the long-term plan to move their aquarium, museum, offices, and more to Water Street in the flagship landing building. There's also one of their educational projects going on through October in the offices behind the visitor center. You can explore the flagship landing building on the ground floor. The Gray Whale Skeleton Bone Workshop is going on. The entire skeleton of a gray whale that died in 2016 is on display, being prepared for articulation. Volunteers are there to talk with you about the project Thursdays through Saturdays from 1 to 3:30. That's going on through November 5th. You can keep up with all the activity of the PT Marine Science Center at their website, ptmsc.org. Thanks again to Bea Redfield, director of the Marine Science Center, and all the volunteers who make the center such a vibrant place. We'll be filling out this half hour with some of the sounds of the Marine Science Center here in Port Townsend. You've been listening to Attention Please on KPTZ Port Townsend. I'm Larry Stein. Thanks for listening.